On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, we talk beer, we talk population densities, and of course, the pineapple.
These facts are sweet.
Wait, aren't pineapples tart?
It can be both.
Yes, it can be both. Sweet, tart, delicious, not delicious. I don't know. I've never had a bad pineapple.
You know what else is delicious?
The We Don't Know Either book? Okay, for the record, we do not endorse eating our book, but we do endorse absorbing all of the great trivia knowledge found within it. It's called We Don't Know Either. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever great books are sold. Chock full of trivia information, puzzle, picture, fill in the blank rounds. Just get our book.
We promise we're not that drunk.
Not yet. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 350 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
The good news about doing our own podcast whenever, wherever we want, we have decided to not drink.
Yeah, and decided is a strong word. I don't know that it was an active decision, more of a, we don't have time for that right now.
We decided not to drink.
Michael did not get the message. No, Sam was a little bit sick, and we just, honestly, my body was about 80% booze just from the Nats World Series run.
Right.
So I needed some time to detox so I could fully lean in to the drunk podcast experience. I didn't want our listeners to get anything less than a very, very drunk Lindsay.
Yeah, most of the time what we do when we do the drunk podcast, it's a once a year thing. So the three of us and whatever guest we end up having on, come in, we do our Friday meeting like we always do. And during that Friday meeting at around 10 a.m., we start drinking a little bit. And we drink through that meeting, and then we have an early lunch and we play some video games and do a whole bunch of like hanging out and chilling out and relaxing while getting drunk. And then we stumble our way over to the studio, and that's our whole day.
Yeah. And we just, you know, we wanted Sam to be involved. So Sam's going to be back, and we decided to delay it. But again, this, we make the rules. We don't know either. We have no rules. There are no rules.
There are no rules. Although this is the first drunk episode that we have missed in 7 years.
Is it? I felt like we've delayed it before. Yeah.
So we're setting history is what I'm hearing.
We're breaking new ground here. So we will be drunk here in one of these episodes coming up in the near future.
It's like surprise drunk.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, man, that second glass of wine got me a little bit more buzz than I thought it was going to be.
Exactly.
Which happens to me constantly.
Yeah.
This is going to be like Lindsay wedding drunk. Like, oh, wait, I've lost a little bit of weight recently, and I haven't been drinking that much because I've been busy, and this sort of hit me out of the blue.
Yes, yes. But the good news is that I know that I'm a lightweight, and I get there quickly, but then I stay on that level. Nobody outdrink me. So I have a brand, you know, a very perfectly culminated brand. So that being said, Michael, your fact is actually drunk related, or you were going to use it on the drunk cast, but you kept it the same. So I think that's a perfect segue, and I'm going to throw it to you to kick us off today.
Yes, absolutely. In the effort of doing as little work as possible, I did not research any new facts. So this was for the drunk podcast, but I will use it, and I will come back with an even better fact.
Ooh, excellent.
That I will not be able to articulate.
Try not to oversell it.
Right. But my fact has to do with Guinness.
Mm.
Okay.
Big fan. Anybody else? Big fan?
No, I don't like chewing my beer.
I've told you about my experience at Guinness, right?
I don't believe so.
Well, so I was studying abroad in Ireland, 20-year-old me, back in the day. Well, I was studying abroad in London, but we did a trip, weekend trip to Ireland, as you do when you're studying abroad in London.
As did I.
Yep. So they said, when you're in Ireland, you're in Dublin, you got to go to Guinness. And you got to go to the brewery. It's the freshest beer.
When you're there, sure.
Yeah, I've never had a Guinness at that point. So I was like, oh, my first one is going to be at the brewery. So they go and they take you in on the tour, and like two floors in, they give you the drink. I tried it and I hated it. I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever had.
Is that the only time you've ever had Guinness, was at the factory?
I think so. I hated it that much. And so did my friend and I. So that you take you up to the tour, you go, we learned about how, we learned the history. We were very respectful, but we got up to the bar at the top of the Guinness in Dublin, and we were like, hey, I know that we have this drink ticket, but we would just like some soda. And then we asked some strangers if we could borrow their drinks just for a picture.
Uh-huh.
And then we drank our sodas.
That is the saddest story I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing for me, but you know, I like to look at it as I'm so self-confident in what I like and what I don't like that I'm not ashamed.
That's
right.
Yeah, no. When I went, we learned that that one drink ticket that you get at the top, more of a guideline than an actual rule. I think me and my friends, we had three or four while we were up there, just had a blast.
It all evens out from the people like me that don't consume them.
That may be what happened. And just like, we had these girls that came in. They didn't like Guinness. We'll throw you.
I will say I did not leave any reviews of my experience. Like, I wasn't one of those people that's like, one star. I hated the beer. Like, that's silly. No, no reviews. The tour guides were excellent.
Look, if you go to the Guinness factory and you don't drink the Guinness and then you leave a negative review, that says more about you as a person than it does about the Guinness factory.
It's like, hey, I booked this trip to Antarctica. One star, it was way too cold.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I went to the North Pole. No penguins.
Yeah. All right, Mike, so what's your fact?
So this is a study done by some scientists in the UK.
Oh, scientists. That's always a good start.
So per year, how much Guinness is trapped in facial hair and lost?
Okay.
So beards and mustaches.
Okay, so this you're asking for the total number of
pints.
Of pints. Okay,
across the UK.
Is it per person?
No.
Okay. See, that's a more relatable number to me, right? Because you know, okay, if I have a beard and I know that I'm losing 3 pints per year, is that worth it to me to shave the beard, right?
Right. Just on a cost basis.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas in terms of people, population drinking it and how many pints are lost, I have no idea to even how to begin to calculate this number. Like,
well, it's the number of it's exactly your calculation times the number of people with facial hair.
I can give you those numbers.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to do math on air. Let's be clear.
Okay.
This is both sober and drunk Lindsay. They're two different people, and they do not want to do any sort of mathematics.
Yeah.
So this was research commissioned by Guinness, by the way.
Of course.
Oh, okay.
I highly doubt that there was a lot of grant money going around for this study that wasn't specifically allocated by the liquor companies.
We'll say to the nearest 1,000 pints.
Okay.
Nearest 1,000 pints. Okay, so that means that it's way over 1,000 pints.
Correct.
Cool. Figuring it out. Method of deduction here. Do you feel like more Guinness would get stuck in beards or mustaches? I have had
It's 100% mustaches.
Okay, I agree.
It's not even close because the mustache goes into the beer, right? If you think about it, you put the glass on your bottom lip like any normal person who drinks things normally, and therefore the mustache is in the beer soaking up those pints.
I wish Scott that was on this episode because he does have a mustache at the moment, so
sure.
We could ask him. It's not like a dangly one.
Yeah, I'm thinking of making him shave that. I know I don't have that power as his boss, but I'm going to attempt to make it happen anyway.
No, you know, he can rock whatever he wants. He's probably saving some Guinness for later.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
Yeah, I always wonder, is there different types in the sense of, like, is one called dangling or cascading? I just went to get my, like, wedding bouquet thing. Apparently there's different types of bouquets.
Sure.
Who knew? I learned that. But you can get, like, a waterfall, you can get a cascade, you can get a drip. And now that's all I'm picturing of types of mustache in terms of wedding bouquets.
Well, you've got your handlebars and your walrus mustaches and your
Fu Manchu.
Exactly. I would say the Fu Manchu would probably do a lot more to the collections than sort of a normal mustache.
Yeah, have a breakdown of mustache per drop?
Yeah, per pint, yeah.
I do, as a matter of fact.
Hang on.
I really do. The scientists found the average drinker takes 10 sips to sink a pint.
Wow.
For which 0.56 milliliters of Guinness is trapped in the average mustache at every sip.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, so we got to get into the next couple facts here. So I got to blindly throw out a guess, as I normally do. You said within a couple thousand, so I'm going to say 10,000 pints are lost annually
in beards
and mustaches.
So that would be based on. I will do math live. I have no problems doing
math
live.
You also pulled up a calculator. So
if you want additional facts, I'm happy to give.
No. So 5.6 milliliters.
Yes.
Per pint.
Per pint. Yes.
Right, because 10 sips.
Right.
Right. So
well,
five,
no.
10 sips per pint, 0.56
per sip.
Per sip. So that would be 5.6 per pint.
Yes.
Because I can do math.
Right. Mm.
So 5.6 per pint times the number of pints sold in the UK. What year is this? It's going to be a very important question.
This would have been about 2000.
So the year...
The survey is from, I'm sorry.
They didn't update it, but it's still a great fact.
So just to be clear, your survey is from 20 years ago.
19.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. We appreciate the relevant, up-to-date information for this.
I'd like to point out, by the way, that question would not have been asked on the Drunk Podcast.
Right. So we're looking at what's the population of the UK? Do you have that?
What's the population of the UK in 2000?
Yeah, exactly.
I have the estimated drinkers in the UK who had facial hair.
Nah. I mean, this is, I assume, okay, Lindsay's looking at me like you got to do your math faster. So let's say just for math purposes, we're looking at 1 million pints of Guinness sold in the year 2000.
That sounds right.
I'm going to say that just under 30% of those are drunk by men with facial hair, right? Mm-hmm. Half men, okay. Half women. And then I'm going to say half of the men have facial hair because UK, year 2000, whatever.
Sure.
if that's the case... Then doing some quick math, we're looking at real roughly 1 million, 30%.
Sure.
That would be 300,000 pints sold.
Sure.
Times the 0.56
milliliters
per pint divided by the 1,000 is about 160,000-ish, 150,000 pints. It's just over half. So 155,000 pints lost.
I quit. I am so done. 162,719.
That's great.
I mean,
so just under 160. As soon as you said 160,000, I got so upset.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's my secret, Michael.
Sure.
You're looking at this as me being an incredible person of estimating whatever the information is and the numbers that we have.
Absolutely not.
You literally gave me all of the numbers, and I just did the math.
Yeah, I mean, if I had time to do that, I would, but I don't got time for that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I got no time. But I actually have a pretty good segue from yours, if that's okay.
Let me just say the answer we will be looking for is we'll give you the range and then the 163,000.
Okay, so 163,000.
Pints per year.
Pints per year lost due to facial hair, specifically in the year 2000. Did that factor in Y2K, though, and like the computer switchover?
I wouldn't think so.
I would assume the study was done before the Y2K, at least commissioned.
I was asking
rhetorically as a joke. So.
Well, do you all remember Y2K?
I do.
Were you too young to fully appreciate the panic that was caused by it?
I remember thinking it's stupid that they wouldn't just go, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean the world's going to end just because we go to 2000?
Yeah.
I remember specifically celebrating New Year's with an American Girl doll. Sup, Molly. Hey, girl. And we had matching purple, metallic purple skirts and glitter leggings. And I remember very distinctly thinking I was so cool that I'm entering in this new millennium with a matching doll outfit. I was a baller.
I was drunk that night.
Yeah, well, that's good for you, old man.
At 11 years old, me too.
Old man. Oh, well, I did not have facial hair then, so. Okay, so I want to talk about populations because, Michael, that's very important. More people drink more. Populations are increasing, so I look specifically into population density because I think that's such an interesting way to picture people,
right?
Especially in terms of voting, and there's obviously this electoral college thing that people are talking about. You know, you guys have probably heard of it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into all that, but there's a lot of maps with.
One of my favorite comparisons on population density to like realizing how big things are is that if the state of Texas had the same population density as the city of Manhattan or the island of Manhattan, everybody on the planet would live in Texas.
That's
a rough calculation.
Yeah, so that kind of leads me to my question. I have a bunch of states and a bunch of cities. New York City obviously has the highest population density of major U.S. cities.
U.S., yeah.
So I'd like to know how many people per square mile, this is as of 2018, live in New York. So that's my question for you guys is what's the population density of New York City? How many people per square mile?
Okay. Michael.
Yeah. Let me start because I clearly know where I'm going with this. So the way I started to think about it was the amount of space a person would need. Does that make sense? And then you factor in basically how many people can be stacked into a square mile.
I mean, sure, into a square mile. And then how many square miles is the city?
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty simple calculation, right?
Right.
If you know the population of New York and you know the size of New York, you can do this math. It's not a difficult thing. But I think looking at the numbers and looking from what I have to compare it to, it's super, super interesting.
Right.
This is specifically Manhattan.
This is New York
City. City of New York.
City of New York. Okay.
New York City, New York. This is according to the population clock, which is via the Census Bureau of the United States.
That was where Lindsay was being a tricky trickster.
Yeah.
Where everybody always imagines New York City as being Manhattan, but no. There are the other boroughs that have to be taken into account.
I was
going to
say, like, Coney Island, probably a little bit more space there.
Yes, although that's not one of the boroughs. But, yeah.
Coney Island's not New York?
Long Island. It is in New York. It's not a borough. Five boroughs in New York. Manhattan, Brooklyn, Long Island, Queens, and the Bronx.
Yeah, okay.
For as much as New York is in pop culture, you'd think you know. Like, we get it. New York is big. I'm sick of it.
Uh-huh.
Sick of it.
You're the one bringing it up.
I know, but.
All right, Michael. Bigger. Step one. How big is New York City?
That is a great question, Nick. I think you got that one covered.
300 square miles.
Okay.
Next part. Michael,
How
many people are in New York City?
Oh, it's got to be over 2 million.
There are there's somewhere between 8 and 10 million people on Manhattan.
Okay.
So
I was correct what I'm hearing.
Yes, you are correct. There are more than 2 million people in New York City. So
I answer your question. I said over 2 million. I was correct. Moving on.
give me a legitimate guess as to the number of people that are there.
You said 8 to 10 just in Manhattan?
Yeah.
It's fun listening to other people struggle.
Yeah, right. I'm going to say...
That's my guess. It may be 8 to 10 in all of New York City. That's one of those numbers that's kind of in my head.
Sure.
I think 10 million people on the island of Manhattan is too many.
Yeah.
So I think my 8 to 10 guess for the city of New York is probably better.
That's fair. I'm going to say a little bit more. I'm going to say 15 million across the five boroughs.
15 million across the five boroughs. Yeah. Okay, which gives you an answer of how many people per square mile?
50,000. That doesn't sound right, though.
50,000. I'm going to say that my 8 to 10 is probably the city. I'm going to go on the low end to have your guess and say 25,000.
Okay.
So if it's 8 million people times the 300 square miles, that would be 25,000 per square mile.
Yeah, you guys are both sound in your logic because I gave you that formula. So the population of New York City as a whole is 8.6 million. So about almost 9 million, but about 8.6 million.
Okay.
The population of Manhattan specifically is about 1.6, 1.8-ish million people.
Yeah.
But your math still stands up, Nick.
Right.
So the population density of New York City per square mile is 27,960.9 people as of 2018.
So almost 28,000 people per square mile.
The population density of Manhattan specifically is 66,940 people per square mile.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, did we see how that happened? I made a guess. Nick laughed at me. I went up, and then he took my original information and got it right. That's exactly how that happened.
As it always does, yeah. So to put that in perspective for the local D.C. and people, D.C. has a population of about 700,000 or so, and the population density is 11,490 people per square mile for Washington, D.C.
So less than almost a third.
Yeah, if you count D.C. as a state, it would be the highest population density as a state. But New Jersey actually is the state with the highest population density.
Right. Well, and for our listeners out in Portland, the city of Portland, roughly 650,000 people. So it's real, real close to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So
roughly,
you're looking about probably 10,000 people per square feet. So again, about three times the number of people everybody look up who's outside listening to this podcast, sitting in a cafe or at a Starbucks or something. Multiply that by three times the number of people that you see, and that's New York.
Yeah, so Portland, actually, I looked this up because I know we have a lot of Bridgetown trivia listeners.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys? So their population density is about 4,700 people per square mile. So it's about half of D.C. because the city has...
Got it. Population is the same. City's twice as big.
Yes, exactly, from a square miles perspective.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the population in D.C., though, and this is one of those just random things I know. That changes mostly because the majority of the people that work in D.C. don't live in D.C.
Correct. It's the number of people who live in that square mile in D.C.
Exactly. So, but between the hours of 8 and 7, for example, D.C. is about double the size.
I would say much larger than that. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much my interesting fact. I just think it's so interesting to think about people in terms that way. And then you go to Alaska, and it's 1.3 people per square mile for
right.
the state of Alaska.
It's just you.
Yeah, so you have this range of nearly 30,000 to one person, and just how big a mile is. I just think it's super fascinating, super incredible. And definitely, if you have some time, play around with the Census Bureau's population clock. They have a ticker that's counting up as we speak live to estimate the U.S. population, the world population.
320 what?
320 what?
What's the current?
We're at 329,958,050.
Wait, six.
It's counting up.
Oh, I'm sorry. We just dated this podcast.
I know. That's true. By the time this podcast airs, it's definitely going to be 330
million people. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's one birth every 8 seconds, one death every 11 seconds. And then with migrants, it's one net gain of a person every 17 seconds, which is pretty cool. So we'll put all this stuff in the link dump. But my question is going to be specifically about the population density of New York City.
All right.
So that's 27,960 will be the answer that I'm looking for.
So speaking of population density.
Oh,
and
specific.
And cosmopolitan cities and the like.
All right.
In those cities with those populations, there is a legitimate class structure, right? Mm.
Sure.
There are different socioeconomic classes and education level.
Is it legitimate,
level.
Though?
Whether or not it's legitimate, such things exist.
That's true.
So I'm going to take you on a journey back to Michael's interesting fact in the UK.
Mm.
Back in time during the 18th century, 1740s to be exact, there was the one true status symbol of your class to prove that you were a person of refinement, a person who knew what they were doing and was moving up in the world.
Specifically the 1740s?
Specifically the 1740s, yes. It was a very short-lived status symbol. That status symbol was the pineapple.
Mm.
Okay.
And there was a period of time where you could rent a pineapple to show off to all of your friends. You couldn't eat it. No. That would be way, way, way too much money. And you can't afford that as the commoner you are.
I'm sorry. Are you describing a something in history or an episode of Psych?
No, this is something from history. But it would have been an awesome episode of Psych. during the 1740s, having this pineapple to show off to your friends was a huge status symbol. You could not eat it because the average pineapple of the time cost between $5,000 and $10,000.
In their money or our money?
In our money.
Okay, that makes sense.
In our money, it would be roughly $5,000 to $10,000.
They don't have dollars, so that was a stupid question.
A big piece of it. both adjusted for inflation and for currency manipulation, it would be about $5,000 to $10,000 to grow a pineapple in the UK in the 1740s.
Sure.
Right? Things about tropical climates and non-native fruits, stuff along those lines. So my question to you is, in today's dollars, what was the rental price for an hour with a pineapple?
Wow. Okay. This is why historians need to be very, very well funded, because this is the content we need people to research.
Absolutely.
Why didn't I think to write my thesis on this? I don't know.
By the way, when you have your guesses and I give you the answer, I can give you some rough comparisons as to what else you could buy for that in both horses, cows, wool or wheat.
or ore,
yeah.
Or brick.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're playing Catan now. Focus. Focus up.
How much did it cost in today's dollars to rent a pineapple?
So you're saying, though, that it cost $5,000 to $10,000 to grow?
Correct. So the way that it would work is that, Lindsay, you'd rent it for an hour, and then I, as the pineapple renter, would pick it up from you, and I'd give it over to Michael, who'd have it for an hour. And after 2 or 3 days of being handled, it was kind of down toward the end of its like show life, where it doesn't really look so. The little points on the ends are starting to wilt a little bit, and it's not good enough. So then I bring it to, you know, rich person, really legit rich person, who would then cut it open and eat it.
Mm. I see.
So, but you got to take your pictures with it, or I guess pose for portraits with it.
Could you do that in an hour?
I was like, I don't think that there's any pictures. Like,
pose for painting portraits.
Your pineapple selfie isn't quite up to date.
Quick, paint the pineapple, and then I will just be here later.
There were nobles in Ireland who did commission painters to paint a depiction of their gardeners bestowing upon them the first pineapple of the harvest.
Mm. Well, so I would immediately say if it costs $10,000 to grow it, my initial guess would be that it would cost less to rent it because growing takes more time to cultivate it. So
correct.
I'll lock in less than $10,000.
That is, you are correct. Michael, you don't even have to bother guessing.
Yeah.
How much would you pay to rent a pineapple for a day?
Right now?
Yeah.
For a full day?
Yeah.
Well,
for an hour.
I just bought pineapple chunks the other day, and that was about 89 cents.
Okay. Where? You got a pineapple chunks for 89 cents?
A can of pineapple chunks.
Oh, a can of them. Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't buy a full pineapple
fresh
for 89
pineapple
cents.
Here's the key. You just get the cored pineapple because it's not cut up into chunks, so it's not as expensive, but it's way less work than the whole pineapple.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Or you could spend the extra 75 seconds and actually cut a pineapple.
No, that's too much. No. Too much work.
I like doing that stuff.
So, Michael, there's no way to really fully guess this because we know that it's less than $10,000.
I disagree because I'm using kind of standard economic principles in this.
Sure.
Oh, wow.
In the idea that you said after about a day, the pineapple is no longer at the end of it's at the end of its show life.
It would end up being about 3 or 4 days.
Okay, 3 or 4 days. You got to figure that amount of time on its own gets you too close to what the pineapple was when you, the cost of growing the pineapple. And then the profit where you go in the black.
Is the actual sale.
Is the actual sale, exactly. Okay. So I'm going to say 3 to 4 days, let's call it 6 hours a day.
24 hours. Six hours of rental time over 4 days.
Exactly.
24 hours.
You got to budget carriage fees at this point.
that wasn't the question. He didn't ask net revenue. So 24 hours. See, this is what I get for doing. I know.
All right. Lindsay, what's your guess?
I'm going to lock it in, and I'm going to say $2,500.
$2,500 to rent a pineapple for an hour?
Yeah, because I think that traveling takes a long time, and I think that the houses in general weren't really that close to each other unless it's, picturing a city or something. But
sure.
I'm picturing a little bit of travel time. I think that $2,500 is a good – it's a lot of money to rent a fruit. But it's still in the I'm a rich person and I could do this in this time.
I'm actually going a little higher. So when I put the mid-range of what you were saying, which was $7,500, into 24 hours, I got $312.
Okay.
So I'm going to say $400.
$400.
Oh, so that's considerably less than what I said.
Yes.
You said 250, didn't you?
No, she said 2,500.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. So what is it?
You are both incredibly high. In 1740, it cost 4 shillings and 4 pence, which, when adjusted for inflation, is about 25 pounds, 25.61 pounds, which when converted to U.S. dollars is $32.86 for a pineapple rental for the hour in the U.K., which, as a good comparison, would be 2 days' wages for a skilled tradesman like a carpenter or a thatcher.
Oh, see, well, in that case, what I did is I adjusted for inflation into now dollars. So I was actually
I adjusted for inflation into now. In today's dollars, $32.86.
So $32.82.
86.
86 cents. $32.86 to rent the pineapple. Wow, I was very wrong.
Yep.
It won't be the last time. It won't be the last time. I really thought that it was much higher of a...
Well, you
got to
think
delicacy.
About it. As Michael's philosophy, well, first off, the mentality is to pretend like you're rich enough to own a pineapple. Mm. So it's not for rich people. It's for poor people who are pretending to be rich. It's like
that's the part I missed.
For Instagram people, right?
Oh, like
here I am with my pineapple.
Yeah, so that's going to be your secret phrase, the pineapple influencers?
Yes.
So that's your secret phrase, the pineapple influencers, because... What else are you going to do in 1740s? I was just picturing it was just rich people. It was just so rare. But
right.
I was wrong. I forgot about the pineapple influencers. Don't make the same mistake I did. Remember them and use them for your 5 bonus points at your trivia night.
Right. So if you rent it to 25 people over the course of 3 or 4 days, you make an extra $1,000 and then you sell it for another couple $1,000.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm actually craving pineapple now. So I'm going to go eat some of that because it's a delicious fruit. And I would like to say that we as District Trivia, if anyone owns a pineapple farm and wants to sponsor us, we are available.
Pro-pineapple.
Yes, pro-pineapple. We don't usually get political, but when we do, it's often involving fruit of non-importance.
Yes.
Okay, so this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. We'll see you next week. Hopefully we're drunk. Ooh, I'm going to drink something with pineapples in it.
Ooh.
Yes. I've been inspired.
Pina colada.
Yeah, this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.